Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm joining you live tonight, right here on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. Call a friend. We'll be right back after we get to the top of this rugged mountain tonight. We've got a great program for you. The paganism of Easter. You don't want to miss it. I'll be right back.
Now, we've
been led to suppose that the word means the resurrection of our Messiah. And for 1,600 years, the Western world had been taught that the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua in a flesh body, rose from the dead on Sunday morning. But that is merely one of the fables. And the Apostle Paul warned the readers of the New Testament to expect the resurrection did not occur on Sunday. We're going to prove that. The astonishing proof, and we're setting forth the exact time of the resurrection, and we know exactly when it was and what day it was. It was the day of the 15th of the month. It was on a full moon. Christ, the Messiah, the one you would call Christ, the anointed, that's all that means, the anointed one. And we've got away from using his name or his title, Messiah. I like that, don't you? Messiah. He rose at the end of the 15th day, typing and shadowing, if you will, the first fruits of the grain harvest. And the Bible said he was the first fruits of many brethren. And so then we have a wonderful type and shadow through the Passover and not Easter. Rabbits, little bunny rabbits, hiding Easter eggs. None of this is biblical. It's all pagan, and it came out of the pagan rituals of the worship of Ishtar, the pagan goddess. Now, the word Ishtar only happens or occurs one time, not in the original scriptures, one time in the translated King James Version, in the 12th chapter and the 4th verse of the book of Acts, it is translated Ishtar, and in the original Greek, it was Passover or Paschal. It is a special time for the house of Israel to commemorate or to keep the Passover. See, do it according to all of the rituals, meaning no Easter eggs, no setters. If you look at the customs of the Jews, they incorporated Easter eggs into their rituals. And of course, the Bible, every time that the word Passover is mentioned, and the sacraments that are identified in the Bible as part of the sacraments that goes with the meal of Passover, which it was only a meal, or the slaughter of the lamb, or the killing of the lamb, on the 14th day at 3 o'clock. And that symbolizes the very hour, it's the ninth hour of that day, that the lambs were slaughtered. That's the exact time that the Messiah died for the sins of the house of Israel. The name Ishtar is merely the slightly changed English spelling of the name of the ancient Assyrian goddess Ishtar, pronounced by the Assyrians as exactly as we pronounce Ishtar. That's how the ancient Babylonians or the Assyrians pronounced Ishtar. The Babylonian name of the goddess was Ashtara, the consort of Baal, the sun god. That's why that the pagan church, which adopted Christianity as its basis or its thesis to preach the Christian God in a pagan acceptance of the pagan ways of the ancient Assyrians and the Babylonians. So Ishtar, if you look up the word Ishtar or Esther or Ishtar in the Hastings Bible Dictionary, you will find it is an Anglo-Saxon from the name of an old Teton goddess of spring. Appropriate, isn't it? Because we are to look in the ears of barley, green barley, or a bib, we are to note that that is the spring announcement of keeping the Passover exactly as the biblical reckoning says to do. And we're going to tell you how that the Gregorian adopted a pagan calendar. Basically, fundamentally, it was the old carbon copy of the 8-day calendar of the Babylonians, reduced to 7 days to keep it in sync or synchronization of the Hebrew festivals or Hebrew times. Now, in Daniel 7:25, the Bible says that they will think this is a planned conspiracy, if you will, of the evil concision and the wicked Romans, the pagans, who loved this paganistic worship of the Babylonian god or goddess of Baal and Ishtar. Now, in the Hastings Dictionary, only 6 lines are devoted to the name Ishtar because it occurs only once in the Bible, and that only in the King James translation, says Hastings. Ishtar, used in authorized version of the translation of Pesach in Acts 12:4, intending after Ishtar to bring him forth to the people. And the revised version has substituted correctly the Passover. And so Easter is a pagan adoption of a pagan goddess of the Assyrians. And exactly as we pronounce Ishtar, the Babylonian name of this goddess was Ashtara, the consort of Baal, the sun god. Now, why do we have a calendar based upon the sun god? Why do the Christian churches adopt the pagan rituals of worshiping the sun in the east? In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, it is noted that the people had their backs to Yahweh's temple, and they worshipped Talmuz, and they wept for Talmuz and the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Very devoted to these pagan goddesses and gods. And today there is no difference, because the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread and Pentecost and Tabernacles are the holy days that Yahweh had ordained forever to be observed by the apostles, first the Messiah himself, and the apostles of the early church, and the converted sons of the lost sheep, called Gentiles, mistakenly, because the word is 1482 Strong's, which means an ethnos, a people of a certain race, cultural, and scattered abroad as lost sheep, lost their identity as Israelites, came through the Caucasus Mountains, after being released by these same people that we talked about here, as the Assyrians dealt kindly with the captive Israelites, and in 721 B.C. Now, don't you think that the Assyrians had given some of these Israelites, these Caucasian Israelites that went through the Caucasus Mountains and became known as the blushing tribes, lost tribes of the house of Israel, which Christ alluded to in the book of Matthew, in chapter 10, when he said, go not to the Gentiles, but go only to the lost sheep. Yahweh himself identified and he brought forth the lost sheep as those that were not Gentiles. So the lost sheep are not Gentiles. And so the incorrect translation of the word Gentile, which is meaning anything that is non-Jewish, which is a mistake. You see, Jews make up the righteous Jews. There are Jews that say they are not. These are the Khazars, or these are the Ashkenazis, which are not Jews, which are not related to the Shem covenant, and are not Shemites. Those lost sheep who were out of the house of Israel, the lost ten tribes were Israelites that made up the major body of being cast out and cast abroad, which now are now in the country of the British Isles and on up into the Scandinavian countries, Germany, and up into the far regions of the north of the house of Dan or the Danites. Finally, the large contingent of those who are called the house of Joseph, the royal tribe, the master tribe, they took leave of their brethren from Manasseh in the British Isles, and through religious persecution they themselves were driven abroad to find the land of milk and honey, known as New Jerusalem. Right in the word Jerusalem, Y-A-H, Yah, the city called by his name, U-S-A-L-E-M. That is the nation of the house of Joseph, the birthright son that was adopted by Jacob himself with his right hand going on Joseph's son Ephraim. And so Ephraim was scattered abroad and made up the large, overwhelming body, collectively, the ten tribes are collectively here in America and in Western European nations. Their symbols, their flags, everything is pointing toward a Caucasian race from the ancient house of Israel, deported, driven out because of the worship of Ishtar and Talmuz and Baal and all the pagan gods of the surrounding nations, going back to the Assyrian and the Babylonian times, where now they truly have learned the ways of the heathen. They have become heathenistic in their traditions, but their heart and their mind, if they could receive the light of the corrected word and separate themselves and come out from among the heathen, the pagan churches, and denounce them and turn from their wicked ways and call upon the name of Yahweh, which is the name above every name, and at the name of Yah, hallelujah, every knee should bow and begin to come out of the paganism that is adopted by the heathen churches who deplore the Hebrew ways, who speak against it. I mean, you mentioned killing a lamb, and they'll bring up the subject that they'd rather eat ham. Now, I don't know, but they've got a little booklet out, Green Eggs and Ham. Well, in this case, they dye their eggs all kinds of colors, green being one of them, and then they bake the ham in their ovens on the day of Easter, the day where they believe that the goddess is now preparing herself to get pregnant or to bring forth through pregnancy with Talmuz, the god and the goddess, and they're worshipped in the Godhead with these paganistic resurrection seam rites of Easter eggs, bunny rabbits, and the bunny rabbit is nothing more than the fertility goddess Ishtar. She was very fertile. She was a fertile myrtle. And the eggs of the bunny represents the bringing forth or the pregnancy of a virgin. And ladies and gentlemen, there were 16 in ancient pagan customs that had adopted the pagan goddess that was impregnated by the god, the Talmuz, and Zeus, and Titan, and all of the Roman pagan gods that impregnated the virgin and brought forth. And these are paganistic. Baal, the sun god, Astara, worshipping the gods of paganism from such turn away, denounce them, come out of her, my people, and begin to study the scriptures, show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen to this. The word almanac is coming into play here. Now, the World Almanac, in the 1950 edition, on page 704, says that in the 2nd century A.D., Easter Day became a ritual among Christians in Asia Minor. That is, in the churches at Ephesus, Galatia, and the so-called Gentile churches raised up by the Apostle Paul and founded, they themselves had been taught originally that the 14th of the month of the green ears of barley, Nisan, the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, or the Hebrew calendar in this case, in other words, the 14th day of the first month of the calendar of the Hebrews, it was not then called by the name of the pagan deity, Easter, but the Bible name of Paschal, or Passover. And see how we have gone back into the paganistic ways of the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and the Chaldeans. Now, Passover is nothing more than the ability to prepare a meal, according to the Bible. Now, we've been over that several times. But for your information of the sacrament that's involved in the meal of Passover is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Very plain, and in the The second Passover ritual that I just got through teaching a series on, it's located in the ninth chapter of the book of Numbers in the Torah. Now, let's look at some of the pagan festivals that Paul warned the converts that they should not return to observing, and Easter is the one that he warned them about. How then did the Easter pagan festival enter into and fasten itself upon professing Christianity? It's not a very deep mystery if we go back and we notice the true origin and the nature of Easter. Let's do a little background and get into the very origin of Easter. The Chaldean connection. I want to bring it in. Easter, as Alexander Hyssop said, in the Two Babylons. If you don't have that book by Alexander Hyssop, I believe that you need to acquire that at all costs. It's still in print. It's inexpensive, and it's worth your time to read that the Chaldeans were the originators of its very forehead. Easter is nothing else than Astarte, one of the titles of Beltis, the Queen of Heaven, whose name, as pronounced by the people of Nineveh, was evidently identical with that now in common use in this country named Easter. The ancient gods of the pagans had many different names. While this goddess was called Astara in Babylon, it appears on Assyrian monuments found by Layard in excavations at Nineveh. Remember, that's where the house of Israel was in captivity when Jonah went and preached to those ancient, misguided, paganistic becoming Israelites and warned them to repent. Now, in his excavations at Nineveh, he excavated Ishtar, and in Leonard's Nineveh and Babylon on page 629, both were pronounced as Ishtar. Likewise, Beltis, or Baal, referred to in the Old Testament, also was called Moloch. It was for sacrificing to Moloch. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 through 11, Solomon engaged in these pagan ritual things and taught the house of Yehuda to practice these by his professing and authorizing these. They built memorials and temples to these strange pagan gods who the ancient Israelites did not know and were forbidden to worship. Now look at verse 7. Moloch is called an abomination. Other pagan gods that the Eternal condemned, that Solomon had rendered away the kingdom of Israel for his son, Rehoboam, and they continued the practice even after the death of Solomon, who loved many strange women and married many of these women that worshiped these strange gods of the Canaanites, even building temples to sacrifice to these pagan gods. And so then, there was a faction within the house of Yehuda who were half of the blood of Yehuda and half of the blood of the Canaanite whom he married in the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis. And so this combination was deadly because they were perceived as Judites or Yehudites, and were not, because they had mixed blood from a Canaanite connection, and Yahweh Shua condemned them in John 8:37-8:44 as being pagan worshipers or mixed mensers or mongrels who had mated with a Canaanite connection. Ladies and gentlemen, the ancient Chaldean idolatrous sun worshipers who worshiped Baal as the sun god and Astara as his consort or wife, and Astara is the same as Ishtar or the English Easter. And so then we have all of these rituals adopted, glorified, and brought into the church of the whore of Revelation 17, passed to the harlots that came out of her. They adopted these pagan symbols and gods, changing the name of the festival to the pagan goddess of Easter, Tammuz, Baal, and the whole consort of those who worshipped, according to Layard, in excavations from Nineveh, which was the stronghold city occupied by the captive Israelites in the Assyrian kingdom, who adopted the pagan ways of the Assyrians and the Chaldeans and worshipped, given up to worship the strange gods, given up to perform these pagan rituals taught by Solomon himself, the erring and the transgression of his abominational ways when it did not please Yahweh, and so he rent the 10 kingdoms or the 10 tribes north out of his hands for his transgressions of worshiping this pagan Ishtar and the goddess of the Chaldeans and the Assyrians, who were mighty empires that Solomon tried to imitate and change the nature of the one Yahweh and the worship of one Yahweh into multiple gods and multiple lords of these pagan heathen. And Mr. Hyssop says the festival that we read in church history under the name Easter in the 3rd or 4th centuries was quite a different festival from that now observed in the Roman and Protestant church at the time. Was not known by any name, such name as Easter. It was called Passover, and was the early observed Christian tradition of keeping the Passover as written in the book of Exodus chapter 12 and Leviticus chapter 23. But it was skillfully changed in its origin back to the Chaldean practice and the Assyrian practice of the abominations of Moloch and the goddess of Ishtar. And they adopted these in, and now we have a church after church who will begin very soon in the month of the Abib, or the spring festival, on the Gregorian calendar. They will worship Ishtar, the Tammuz, and Baal, the sun god, by standing in the tombs, looking at the sunrise, worshiping the eastern sky and the sun, the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, and give glory to the goddess of Ishtar, which is represented in the Catholic Church as Mary, the mother of the Messiah. Ladies and gentlemen, all of those ancient beings would have turned over right in their grave if they would have known that the festival became idolatrous. And we often know that in the 5th century that the observance of 40 days of Lent had no existence so long as the perfection of the primitive church remained as a viable organ of the Creator in truth, as they taught Passover according to the ancient traditions that Yahweh Himself laid down, and the 40 days of abstinence of the Lent was directly borrowed from the worshippers of the Babylonian goddess. Such a Lent of 40 days in the spring of the year, still observed by the pagans or the devil worshippers who have inherited it from the early masters, the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Chaldeans, and such a Lent was held by the pagan Mexicans in honor of the sun. That's what it is. If you ever notice the Pope on his crown, it is the adoring of the sun god or the sun blast. And ladies and gentlemen, here we have it's directly borrowed from the worshippers of the Babylonian goddess of Easter. Lent was observed by the ancient Egyptians. The Egyptian Lent of 40 days was held expressively in commemoration of Adonis or Osiris, the great mediatorial god, the two Babylons, by Hyssop, pages 104 and 105, and Sabaean researchers by Landseer on page 112. Two historical documents or books written to the historical tradition of the pagans who worship Ishtar, the pagan goddess, and turned it into 40 days of Lent. Of worship of the sun by all of these pagan rituals. And do you realize what happened? Yahweh commanded his people to observe the Passover forever in Exodus 12:24. Forever do this as a memorial. How did we get Easter eggs? How did we get bunny rabbits? How did we get the tomb of the dead facing the sun on Easter morning? How did we get all these paganistic things, such as Lent? How did we get all these things? Because the ancient Israelites, who loved the ways of the heathen and the pagan, was turned over to a reprobated mind, driven out of the land, and let it lay dormant, let it rest, and let the heathen, as the Israelites had become, they loved the heathen pagan ways. They loved to worship Baal. They loved to worship the sun god. They loved to worship the spring pagan festivals, the winter festivals of Christmas, and now the pagan, the time of tabernacles, as of a pagan ritual of Halloween. Ladies and gentlemen, we have gone over to pagan to the very core, and the Bible says, come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh my, praise Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are very safe, but you will become the few, not the many. You will become very lonely. You will become a minority as you see the hordes of pagans, called Christians, going about their business of the traditional rituals of those who now have applied themselves to the traditions of the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Chaldeans, as they loved the gods of Solomon, of first, if you will, First Kings chapter 11, as I have written unto you. And ladies and gentlemen, Solomon set a bad example not only for the house of Yehuda, but also for the house of Israel. And so the split, or the division of the stick, that was split in two, and now we have two different factions. But in that faction of the house of Yehuda, we have the ones who have crept in as Jews of Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9, professing them or calling themselves Jews, which are ancient descendants of the Khazars, who adopted the Yehuda religion and became known as the Gypsies or the Wanderers or the Vagabonds of Eastern Europe, into now today the Ashkenazis, who have returned to the land of Israel, and there they have become embedded, ruling in the Sanhedrin, just like they were at the time of the Messiah, who hated him, who hated his teaching, who killed him and set away with him, and we will have his inheritance. Oh, how the world has been deceived by those who say they're Jews and are not, but are out of the household of Satan. They are out of the synagogue of Satan, Revelations 3 and 9, and Revelations 2 and 9. Go to those scriptures, and you'll see that the traditional rituals of falsehood, the ancient paganistic ways of the house of Yehuda, taught to them by Solomon, who turned wicked in his old days and turned away from Yahuwah, Yahweh, in a flesh body, and worshiped the creatures and the pagan gods, because he was in love with the strange women and the cultures of these mighty empires of the Chaldeans, the Assyrians, and the Babylonians. Oh my, how we have fell from grace. How that we have turned from the house of truth into the house of a lie. We have cast the truth to the ground, and we have prospered, and we have practiced these pagan rituals until it is now a stink in the nostril of Yahweh, who says, I will turn them over to a reprobated mind to believe a lie and be damned, and I will send them, since they have loved the pagan gods, I will send them a strong delusion that they may forget my name, forget my ways, forget my truth, and go a-whoring after these false gods. Ladies and gentlemen, the practice of the pagan rituals of the ancient gods of the pagans had many different names. They got their Lent, the practice of the 40 days of Lent, they got that from the paganistic culture of the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. They learned the ways of the heathen. They abolished the ritual of true Passover, and they went a-whoring after these other gods? And did you realize that all Western nations have been deceived into dropping the festival that Yahweh ordained in the Torah forever to commemorate the death of the true Savior, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body? Yahweh visited the earth in a flesh body and was killed for his efforts, and he was cast aside, and Yahweh was forgotten. The truth was cast to the ground. The command was ignored, and the Israelites, when a whoring after the other gods, broke the law of Moses and forgot the picture and the types and the shadows that it was a forerunner for the Messiah to come in a flesh body and be the Lamb sin offering for eternity to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, according to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 24. It's not a pagan ritual of Christianity. It is a pagan ritual of those who claim to be the worshipers of the Messiah, who have changed the nature. Even the word Christian has been corrupted, as it is a nature of Krishna, Christian, or Christ, adopted from the Indian god of Krishna. And if you've ever been in an airport, you'll see all these Krishnans standing there, begging for money, alms, selling their Krishna god, where we get the word Christ from the pagan Hindu word. And so then, Christ and Jesus, Ishtar, and nature of the acceptance of Ishtar, the goddess, produced a son called Ishtar, or, if you will, Isus, or Isus, or Iesus, from the Greek god, who overshadowed the pagan goddess of Easter and produced this god called Jesus in the Mexican language, and it's also very closely associated with Jesus, or Isis, or if you will, all lumped into the heathenistic, paganistic terms for those who have been deceived, who have worshipped Ishtar, worshipping the sun, and dying the Easter eggs. And this was an idolatrous Chaldean rite, as they did it in Easter observance in those days. They did it today, Christians, in the pagan church at Rome, that sits on seven hills, that will deceive the very elect, if possible. And the scriptures again said, come out of her, my people. Now, where do we get the hot cross buns and the dyed eggs? The hot cross buns and the dyed eggs figured in the idolatrous Chaldean rites. And here we have these pagan days, the buns, known by their identical name, were used in the worship of the days of Cecropus, the founder of Athens, in 1500 years before the Messiah, according to Alexander Hyssop, in the Two Babylons, on page 107 and page 108. One species of sacred bread, which used to be offered to the gods of great antiquity and called Boon, was written by Bryant in Mythology, Volume 1, page 373, and the astonishment is that one of the reasons that Yahweh drove out the Yehudians was that the Hebrews, or the Jews, or the Yehudians, when they were in Babylon captivity, was given to this idolatry, and it was passed on to the families, and it joined in this idolatrous worship in making and offering hot cross buns and dyeing the Easter eggs to represent the fertility god of Ishtar. And so now we have these who claim to be Christians adopted the pagan ways of the heathen when the Messiah said, learn not the ways of the heathen, but come out of them, my people. Now, we know that the hot cross buns of the sacred bread, which the buns known by the identical name, it was used in the worship according to a Sekhrop, one species of sacred bread. It was, it will astonish you, but it's true that the reasons that they were driven out into captivity, never to return, given up to a reprobated mind, because they adopted this idolatry of the heathen Babylonians and the heathen Chaldeans and the heathen Assyrians. And it's recorded in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah. You will find a stern sentence upon the house of Yehuda through Jeremiah the prophet. And he says, if you will amend your ways and your doings, Yahweh warns you, I will allow you to remain in this place, the land of Israel, for a time. But they would not listen, and therefore I will cast you out of my sight, saith Yahweh, to Yehuda. And to Jeremiah he says, seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah? Well, let's see what they do. The same thing they do today. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, that they may provoke me to anger. Therefore, thus saith the Eternal One, Yahweh, behold my anger, and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Verses 18 through 20 of the 7th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. The Hebrew word for cakes, as Jeremiah originally wrote it as kawan, it means buns. And the word bun, says hyssop, seems to have been derived from this word kawan. It is used nowhere else in the Bible except Jeremiah 44, verse 19. Here again, the same idolatrous worship to the Queen of Heaven is mentioned every other place in the Bible where the English word cake is used. A different Hebrew word was used in the original. Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, was referring to hot cross buns, exactly the same kind that hundreds of people are now buying and eating at Christmas or at Easter services, where they make or bake the buns to the Queen of Heaven and do the ritual practices of worshiping the sun, the S-U-N, and dyeing the Easter eggs, as the pagan traditions have now expanded into Christianity, or those who claim Christ or Krishna, the Anointed One, and the original origination of Easter egg is just as clear. It is recorded in Davies Druids on page 208 that the ancient Druids bore an egg as the sacred emblem of their idolatrous order. On page 207, in the same history, it is recorded that in the mysteries of Bacchus, as celebrated in Athens, Greece, it became part of the idolatrous ceremony consisting in the consecration of an egg. The Hindu fables celebrate their mundane egg as a golden color. It has been ancient custom in Japan to make their sacred egg a hard, brazen color. In China, dyed or painted eggs are used on sacred heathen festivals in the idolatry of ancient Egypt and Greece, Chaldea, and Babylonia. In these ancient customs, eggs were used in all of their religious rites. Why do Americans, or those in America, why do we believe ourselves to be Christians and dye eggs at Israel at Easter? Do we suppose that the Bible ordained or commanded that this heathen custom be abandoned and forsaken and to return to the old path and to seek Him while He can found? Not a word of this is in the New Testament. Certainly, the Messiah did not start it. The apostles did not preach it. None of the ancient fathers confirmed it, and none of them before the abominable church of the great whore who sat upon many waters, who influenced many people, adopting the pagan ways, and to do good they know not, but to do evil they're quick. Now, I've got to get off here. My time is coming down. I love you tonight. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul. I love you tonight. May the good Master of Heaven take a liking to you. May you be blessed. May you hope that your day will come that you can depart from the pagan traditions of the world. Come up that rough mountain. Come on up. You can make it. You can climb the mountain with the truth of Yahweh. Return to the old path. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now you can call me. I'm live tonight at Hallelujah Acres at area code 423-338-1972. I'll see ya tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time. Yahweh bless you.